Welcome to Wrestling with the Truth, the podcast for every pro wrestling fan. We've got heated debate, great guests, top 10 lists, reviews, previews, and so much more. And now here are your hosts, BC Hunter and the Nightmare, Jay Myers. All right, folks, it is me, BC Hunter, along with the Nightmare, Jay Myers. Jay, how you doing on this lovely Sunday?
I'm doing okay. It's cold. It's getting into Christmas season. I got to start shopping. And so it's, I guess I'm not doing okay because it's the season, and I don't like having to prioritize shopping over everything else.
I saw a beautiful picture on Facebook of you and that girl of yours that's growing like crazy.
I know. 4 years old and now just – I just said this today. I don't know if you boys have daughters or sons, but she's four and like now she's just going off. She's just like, I'm going upstairs to watch my tablet. And I was like, all right. I guess I'll just stay down here now and like not have anything to do with you. This is just like, it's the weirdest thing. Like, you're four. What are you talking about? Just goes up
and dies. And then she's like, can you charge this for me? And it's like, I haven't seen you in 3 hours. And now you want something.
Now you want to see me.
My daughter's 20. When she's at the house, she still does the same thing. She just
goes home. It doesn't come back.
Right.
It's just weird because they go so long with like, you literally have to like watch every single second of every single day. And now she's just like, no, I'm good. Like,
yeah.
Before, I'm good.
So I guess we should mention the two voices that you just sort of respond to your question there. So as you know, this is our November to Remember. And of course, in the November to Remember, every week during the month of November, we have special guests come on the show. And they're always fellow podcasters, mostly from the wrestling world. But we've kind of branched out this year and had some from outside the wrestling world. But we wanted to bring on for our final episode of November one of my favorite podcasts to listen to, and one that I got hooked on thanks to all of our good buddies, Mr. Ted from the Heel Truth podcast. Yep, yeah, the podfather himself has overtaken Conrad. But it's Dwaylen Davis and Steve Barber from the Armchair Booking Wrestling Podcast. Did I say that right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, the Armchair Booking Wrestling Podcast. I stumbled for a second, but how you guys doing?
I'm doing good.
Yep, we're doing good. You know, happy to be here. Thank you so much for inviting us. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Happy to have you, boys.
Love it. Love it.
It's, love getting different takes.
It's for sure.
Perspective. Sure.
What I like about you guys, you're similar to us. You have an appreciation for the old school, but you're not that jaded that you don't enjoy the new school stuff as well. So it's balanced takes on both sides as opposed to picking a side for one or the other. And,
hopefully balanced.
Which I sometimes experienced balanced. This week. We'll get into that later this episode, but I did experience that week about picking sides by mentioning one name on Twitter, and that just exploded. So interesting stuff. Before we get into the episode, I want to do as we promised. We said, you know, once we actually get a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, that we'd read them out. We've actually managed to get a couple, so I'm impressed. We're starting to rack them up now, Jay. We're up to 4, if you can believe.
Wowzers!
This. 4, and our newest one. I want to shout out. It looks like Notre Dame fan 1979, NTR DMFN 1979. And the description is awesome. These guys are prepared, so knowledgeable. One of the best wrestling content podcasts out there. I am always entertained. So, Jay, would you thank your mother for giving us that review?
I'm trying to think who would actually put that on. I'm glad they're always entertained because sometimes I don't even know if I'm entertaining myself. So that's
actually, I think I believe that would be our good buddy Ted, another Ted from Hooked on Movies podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I recognize that.
It was great. Ted was
great. Which I don't know if you guys get a chance to hear that, man. He did a great job. Yeah. Big wrestling fan, big movie fan. I know those guys are always looking to branch out if you're ever looking for a guest on your show. And
still amazes me how much knowledge that man had of movies in general. Like, I don't even compare.
Grabbing to their podcast as well once I heard him as a guest on your show.
Yeah.
And I struggled with math. Like, wow. I mean, they pull up some old school stuff.
They do.
And I'm like, I've enjoyed the episodes I've listened to so far.
It's crazy. For sure. Yeah, it is a great podcast. And, Yeah, I think we're convinced them to do They Live, which I'm very excited about.
Should just do a whole series on Piper.
On Piper, yeah, really. Yeah. He's got some class.
He's got a lot, does he? Mm-hmm. Several, yeah. Anyway.
For sure. The other thing I wanted to mention, we have some friends all across the land, and one podcast I wanted to shout out was a podcast called Today We Laughed and Learned, and it's Chris and Deb from that podcast, and how I met them. And this is what I love. We were just talking about off air, the small world of podcasting. I'm not sure if you guys are over on the Good Pods app. Have you gone on there yet? Okay.
Yep,
perfect.
Yeah, we're on there.
There's a good community there of, independent podcasters that are really supportive. And we're in a group chat with some of them and everybody likes to try to support everybody. And you can't listen to 70 podcasts, unfortunately, during the week. It's just impossible. So you kind of pick and choose some to try out and go. And this is one that I just randomly picked out was this Today We Laughed and Learned. And I love it. It's a fantastic show. It's who would have thunk? I mean, it's just two ladies that pick a topic. They take turns picking topics. One's Canadian, one's American, by the way. So you go, synergy that like we've got going on. And they just research it and they make it very funny, the discussion that they have in regards to each topic. Quick episodes, good fun. I highly suggest anybody out there, if they want to try something different out aside from a wrestling podcast, check out Hooked on Movies, check out Today We Laughed and Learned. Good stuff. And they've been very supportive of us as well on Twitter and everything. So I just wanted to say thank you for that. So there's my shout outs for the week. We won't get into any more.
Excellent.
But, but so a couple of suggestions for people to go and check out. Awesome. Broaden your horizons. So gentlemen,
now let's get into the meat and potatoes here. Let's do some wrestling.
With the meatiest of meat, before we get going, though, I want you guys to promote the heck out of your show.
Yes.
And because you never know, people might not listen to the end, so let's do it now. I stole this completely from Ted, the Hillbilly Heel, but it's a great move to get you guys.
So did we.
We did.
Yeah. Because, some people don't have the patience to wait until that end credit. So go ahead. Just fire out all the information on the show. We want to make sure people go see you guys as well.
All right. Dwaylen, can I do this all in one breath, you think? Or is it just too much?
I think you got it. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. If you'd like to email the show, it's armchairbookingpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to hit us up on Facebook, it's facebook.com/armchairbookingpodcast. You can find us on Instagram @armchairbooking. You can find us on Twitter @bookingarmchair because somebody squatted on armchair booking. They won't give it up. So whatever, I'm moving on. So you can find us on TikTok @armchairbooking. I've been trying to create more videos. Haven't had a chance to, but we are on TikTok in some way, shape, or form. We're also on YouTube. YouTube is the only video outlet that I know of that we're on. However, when it comes to audio, we're on just about any kind of audio platform you can think of. If we're not there, we tell people, let one or both of us know. We can do what we can to get ourselves added. We also have a merch store. It's tpublic.com/user/armchair-booking-podcast. You can find things like this lovely long sleeve t-shirt that I'm wearing with a logo. You can find things like a tumbler, which I'm also showing. For those on video, I'm just showing the tumbler. You can get phone cases. So I'm kind of hooked up with the merch. And, Dwaylen also has some merch as well. And speaking of Dwaylen, you can find his social media on Twitter @fat_daddy73 because he's Fat Daddy and his wife, they call her Big Mama. She's not the same Big Mama that's in the NWF Wrestling, but she's Dwaylen's Big Mama, but they have their own social media channels, Big and Fat, on both TikTok and YouTube. And I also have my own non-wrestling podcast called The Cubicle Chat. You can find that on the same audio platforms. And Twitter, it's cubicle_chat. And that's the non-wrestling, kind of with similar to, I have a different co-host from them, but we talk about anything and everything. And Dwaylen's actually been a guest on that show.
Nice.
Cool. Dwaylen, did I get everything?
I believe you got everything. Yep.
Yeah, he always has to check me to make sure.
Yeah.
So, and a couple of times I do miss, even though I'm getting better.
It's a lot to get through.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, there you go. So, people, go subscribe to everything he just mentioned. Go support them. And most of all, go check out their podcast for sure. Give it a listen. So, now, Jay, let's get on to wrestling. Hey.
Yeah. Let's do this.
All right. Starting off, I know it's been tough. We talked a little bit off air. There's just a plethora of wrestling out there now, so it's tough to prioritize things. But I wanted to just quickly just talk about Survivor Series, just to get your guys' quick thoughts on it, including yourself, Jay, of course. I know it probably not everybody's seen every bit of it, but more so I'm just wondering your overall thoughts on it, and probably the main event, the men's Survivors or men's War Games match, if you had a chance to watch that. So I'll let you guys lead off, either Dwayne or Steve, if you want to take over on that.
Dwayne, how much have you been able to watch? Because I know you've had a busy day.
I haven't got to the main event yet. I saw the women's War Games match, but I haven't seen the main event, but I did see the ending. You know, of course, it's hard to avoid spoilers on Twitter.
Yes.
But yeah. I went ahead and watched it, and just the story they've been telling with the Bloodline has just been fantastic. And Sami Zayn is the MVP of that whole storyline. I mean, he's tying all that together. Just the way he looked conflicted on what he was going to do against Kevin Owens, and then he made his choice, and he was still conflicted about it. And then, you know, Jey Uso ended up, you know, giving him a hug and all that. And it's like the story has just been great, but I'm still waiting for them to turn on him.
Yeah,
I'm waiting for that turn, because then I see it being KO backs him up. But I'm waiting on that turn. But the way they're telling the story, it's going to hit really hard when they do turn on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think for that one, I was literally about 10 minutes before you sent us the link, BC, I was chatting with the guys from the Dad World Order podcast, and because they had their live broadcast going, and I said, I actually compared it, I said, it feels like it's going to be like Ole Anderson when he kicked Sting out of the Four Horsemen.
Yeah.
You know, because you have this one guy who's more popular than everybody else, and he kind of stands out. So,
yeah.
You know, and I could see a feud going between Sammy and Roman. But I don't know. I like Sami Zayn. I don't see him as a world champion.
No.
But I could see KO come in and taking the belt.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that, or I could see him and Sammy taking the tag titles off the Usos.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I thought it was going to happen. I was just waiting for the turn. Like after Sammy goes and does all of the things to sort of prove that he's in there, I was like, okay, this is perfect moment. This is where they're going to turn on him. Still, did read and heard rumor that it is going to be Sammy and Roman at Elimination Chamber, so they're going to get there somehow. So I'm intrigued to see where that goes. I agree with you. I don't know, man, the guy's so talented and entertaining. So it's hard to dismiss that right now. Does he look and feel like the world champion after Roman Reigns? Probably not, but I don't know. I think this is a new world with Triple H. I don't think the look and feel needs to matter as much anymore. If he's putting butts in seats, like he's clearly over, and that's the thing, right? So I don't
know. Yeah, they're chanting for him when
3 months ago
there.
I would have said no, but now after watching that, I watched that whole show, which I thought was a really top-notch show. It wasn't a full card. Obviously, there was only what, the two war mat four games, and then do we only have two other matches? I think it was the triple threat and the women's match, and then Finn
and AJ.
Three matches. But from start to finish, I really liked that show. I thought it was really well done. And I don't know. I think Sammy could be that next guy. Like he's just too talented to take it away from him now. Like he's got the crowd in the palm of his hand now. He even dictates. Even with Roman in the ring, his presence even almost trumps Roman in that case. Like, I felt he was even a bigger presence than Roman in that match.
The one thing that worries about if he does get the title, it could end up like a Liv Morgan situation where everybody wanted her to get it. She was the underdog. Yeah. But then as soon as she got it, it was like, okay, now what?
Totally agree. I just think the difference there wouldn't be forced, right? The Liv thing was forced. Right. This is going to be slow and building and – but I think you're right. I think it will feel a little bit like, okay, now what? But I don't think it'll be quite as bad as Liv if they did do that. And maybe he doesn't even keep it for that long. Maybe right. KO turns on him after he gets it, right? I mean, there's so many different ways you could go with that.
I mean, it wouldn't be the first time that KO turned on him after he won a major championship. And he did it to him in NXT.
NXT, that was such a good moment. Yeah.
I will say, I'm going to give kudos to WWE because everybody was predicting this, including myself, was this was going to be the start of the cracks in the bloodline, and this is where Sammy starts the turn, and they held off. They just, they're still riding it, and we live in a world where, well, geez, I mean, look how quickly things are happening over in AEW with turns and turns and turns and all this stuff where you could be saying, like, guys, just slow it down just a little bit and milk this a little bit longer, but they are doing a perfect job with this. And I agree, Jay, like, Sammy is pretty over, but honestly, the pop that he got was the equivalent of the pop the table got in the women's ladder match when they pulled it out from underneath the mat. Yeah. So I think that was more just a Boston crowd being kind of ironic. Yeah. Like, and we've talked about this before, about people who are getting cheered ironically instead of getting cheered for the real reason.
Yeah.
And I felt a little bit of that, although I think Sammy is over.
I agree, but I think it's been consistent now in every city they've been in, right? I mean, just everything is getting over that he does. Like, just look at the Usy thing. Like, like, go back if you haven't seen it, like, watch the backstage segment between him and Roman. Man, it was good. It was like really, really, really good. Like, the tension, the acting they both did, it was like phenomenally good. And so much so that you didn't know what Roman was going to do when he stood up and he said, tells him to stand up and all. It was like, how could they not keep rolling with this and just flesh it out? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, it's just been too good. And now you got a sympathetic KO, which is a bonus for them too, right? Because now he looks like a good baby face going forward too, which is probably what they wanted to accomplish too. Like, they're getting so much out of this storyline. It's almost like, are we watching WWE? Is like, are they purposely getting all of these little things out of this one storyline? And I think they are on purpose doing this stuff, but like, it's crazy to think now.
Yeah. It's night and day from the way Triple H is booking it to where Vince was, where everything was hotshotted like 3 weeks at a time just to get to the next show. And there was never any long-term, you know, no payoff for any booking or anything, because Vince would just change his mind halfway through and be like, I don't like this anymore. So,
No, agreed. And a lot of amnesia played into it, right? They never wanted you to remember what happened before, too, right?
Yep.
And now we're getting beat, not in a bad way, we're getting beat over the head with all this reminders of Drew got screwed by Solo. And then, like, here's the reason why Sheamus is in the match because of the stuff with Roman Earl. You know what I mean? Like, they keep bringing everything up. The women, they did a great job on that too, of connecting everybody involved in that match as well. So even the Becky stuff, right? How they damage control, like, took her out.
For me, it's like with Sheamus, it's like, this is the most that I've liked Sheamus since like early in his career.
Yeah.
It's like, I felt like a singles run, he kind of got stale, but I think this has made him interesting again. So, and it's like, almost put him back in main event status, because now you've got, he could feud with Roman, still got Drew on the back burner.
Yep.
You got Sammy once the turn happens. You got KO waiting in the wing. So they've built a lot of challengers up to where, you know, just a few months ago, we were there are no challengers left for Roman. And now they've, you know, built all these people up fairly quickly, but it was believable how they built them up.
And I don't want this to be the case, but weirdly now they even have a babyface Bray that they could throw in there too. Like, the babyface side of things is really starting to get like beefed up, which is a nice thing.
One of the things I also noticed about the commentators last night, when they're not ignoring the history of these wrestlers, they were mentioning the IWGP. And they were mentioning that, hey, so-and-so held this IWGP belt three times or four times, however many it was. They said, Asuka and what's her face? They were tag team partners. Now all of a sudden they were
Io Sky. Yeah.
And they referred to the Bullet Club as the Bullet Club, not the club.
Yeah.
And they were talking about the original War Games matches. Yes.
I was going to say Crockett got mentioned. They totally mentioned Crockett Promotions. Like, there is no off limits anymore. I don't think.
Because they were mentioning Heyman. He was part of some of those original matches. Yeah. It's Sting Squadron against the Dangerous Alliance, which Heyman was over. So
everyone thought it was the most stupid thing that Vince would just pretend things didn't happen. Like, no one thought that was a good idea to do that, but he just continued to do that over and over again. So clearly it's just not insulting our intelligence, which is what we've always been asking for.
Exactly.
Don't insult us.
Like, when AJ first came in, all they would ever say was that he wrestled in Japan,
Yeah.
They ignored all the time he was in TNA and all his accomplishments there.
Good point.
And it's like everybody, all of us know where these people come from. So, you know, Jay, like you were saying, it's like, stop insulting our intelligence and just
give the
information, because we already know it anyway.
Yeah. And I find too, Steve, I don't know if you were, I thought you might've been going with this, this way with your comment, like, it fires up the commentators. It gives them more ammunition. It gives them more sort of to talk about too, which is more entertaining on the commentary side of things too, I find.
They don't have to be careful about, okay, we had this list of forbidden words. Yep. And now they're being a lot more open about that, because it kind of sucks when you're wanting to just be able to speak freely, but then all of a sudden you can't because you said a word like belt or strap.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden Vince is screaming in your ear, oh, don't say that, even though it's literally a belt. I mean, there's 18 of them right behind you. There's like two behind me. Waylon has some. I mean,
it's not an improv. It's not a wrong description. I mean, some people may not like that description, but it is a real description of what it is.
Yeah.
So.
It's the belt, and it's what the belt represents, that they, you know, now, I mean, what do they call it? Like, just are they even saying title? I mean, I know they're.
They usually call it the whatever title. Now, I've heard belt been mentioned now on TV. Yep. You hear fan almost repeatedly during matches now. It's WWE fans a lot of time. I don't remember the last time I heard universe, to be honest. Did you?
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys can call one, but it's been a while since I heard universe. They still say superstar, which fans, I think is good.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I just like it's, and I we don't, and we've talked about this so much on our show, but it's like, you don't want to belabor this. Like, okay, yes, it's different. But it's been different in a different, I'm saying different a lot, but it's not what I thought was going to be. I thought it was going to be massively wholesale. He's going to just completely change everything. But in a kind of counter to that, it's actually been more enjoyable because he hasn't massively changed things, but he's doing all the little things that everyone always got pissed off about. And now he's taking those out.
He's changing the right things.
Right.
Yeah.
Not just to change things and make wholesale changes. He's actually changing it for good. Yeah. So,
which ironically proves that it was only these small little simple things that needed to be changed. Meanwhile, the product itself was good. It's just, we were so frustrated with everything else that you just ignored it. Now you're actually watching the product because you're not worried about that stuff.
Right.
And even the shaky camera, I know Kevin Dunn's still there, but it's less bothering me. I know that. I don't know if he's been in his ear too, but
it's been toned down some.
Yeah.
Before it was like all the time, and it's
you're getting sick watching.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw up
watching it.
Yeah, because I mean, I've been at a couple of like a Raw taping or a SmackDown taping, and I was watching, and the camera was literally doing like this with the camera.
Really? You
know, going up, and I'm like, that's why it looks like the way it does. And
worse.
Yeah, I was like, man, every time I watch WWE, I'm fucking going to puke.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a good
thing. Well, Vince is going with the theory of, like, let's create chaos with doing those shots where Triple H is like, let's just make chaos.
Let's just make
it. So we have backstage stuff where we have, you know, Killer Cross getting hit by a car or something. Like, let's create chaos, right?
That's a good point. I never even thought of it like that, where he was trying to do it as an effect kind of thing.
He did. Yeah, exactly. Like a dramatic effect. And meanwhile, it was manufactured. Now it's created, right?
Right. So, let the performers do what they do best, right?
Yeah. Yep. Did you happen to catch Triple H's comment on the press conference afterwards, which I found hilarious?
I didn't get to catch it.
I saw part of the press conference. Yeah.
But Austin Theory, did you hear that one?
Yes.
Oh, I heard that he ribbed the fans or something. He was like mocking the fans because of the cash in or something.
His career was dead 2 weeks ago.
And he just congratulated him on such a miraculous recovery because it was great being dead. He said he plans on walking on water next.
You know what? I will take I'll fall on the sword on that one. I was pissed off at how that went down without really thinking about it, and I think everybody was too, but like to see that turnaround and like that match was fantastic. I don't know if you guys watched it, but it was one of the most enjoyable triple threats I've watched.
That was
a
great
time.
Match
a long time.
I'm normally not a big fan of triple threats because it always seems like, okay, our turn in the ring, you go lay down outside.
Now you go outside. Okay, exactly.
They're too slow paced for three people to be in the ring. But this one, I mean, it was just bam, 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 bam. And even the way it finished, where Lashley actually hit the move, but then he wasn't over there to pin him in time. I mean, That's my,
that, you know what, Steve, that was my only criticism, is that it was flawless, but the spear didn't come off as good as I think it could have, because he kind of was, I think Bobby was actually not trying to kill them, you know what I mean?
So yes,
he was trying
exactly.
To like, yeah. actually protect them with the spear, but it also kind of glazed, like it almost
I did notice
grazed them kind of thing.
Didn't,
so.
It didn't, the spear didn't look great.
No. But you know, had he actually hit him, I think they would have died, because like he would have probably broke his neck.
At least it wasn't a roll up, though, right?
Yeah, true enough. No, yeah. If you take it just on the premise, it was fantastic, because like that was a cool way to end that match. It just didn't execute. And the other thing too, I found, Steve, was that their styles were so good together, because you had Bobby, who was just like the bruiser, obviously, and Theory goes in between, and Seth is so freaking technical. But like they bounced around, and Bobby kind of kept two of them out of the ring, or one of them out of the ring at one time, but like so good. And that stomp that Seth did, like I don't know how he managed to do that.
Yeah,
he bounced off Theory's back and then did like I was like, that should be a highlight forever, because that was awesome.
It's like, this is how they should have booked Austin Theory to begin with. It's like everything they did with him, it's never good when you're an on-screen protege of Vince McMahon. It's like your character never goes anywhere.
See Drew.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. See Drew McIntyre, if you don't believe us. And then the Money in the Bank thing was like, it was like an albatross. It was like, because they didn't know where they were going to go with it. And the best thing that happened to him was him losing it.
Yeah.
Because this Austin Theory, I'm actually interested in. The other one, I was already bored with.
You know, Dwayne, me and Jay had talked about this long ago in an episode. We were talking, it was back when Braun Strowman was getting that goo put on him by Shane McMahon or whatever. And we were saying, you're killing this character. And I made the comment that, you know what, you can do whatever you want to a character, and all they have to do is come back the next week and just absolutely destroy somebody, and you can build them right back up, right? That's the beauty of wrestling. And this is exactly what they did with Theory. All it took was him to be a big beat down, a serious promo instead of all this, get rid of the selfies, get
drop
rid of
the
that
selfie stuff. Yeah.
He explained why he got rid of the briefcase very well, which was fine.
Which we all said was the reason why it's a weird position to put him in. Cause is he going to beat Roman? No. So like, that's just weird to begin with. So,
So it's beautiful recovery.
It was. And it also makes me think, and I know they haven't really confirmed this yet, but it's been danced around, that they are going to bring Money in the Bank back to Mania. And I think that's a better place for that kind of match. So now you can actually redo it without having to wait for the year or whatever to expire. Now you can just bring the match back right at Mania and have it again as a Mania match, and maybe they won't, but with 2 days, it makes sense. You want to put those matches on Mania, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Theory is fantastic. It was so good. Although, weirdly, did you catch that they did a commercial in his Titantron?
Yeah,
that was weird.
I was like, what is going on? His music was playing, but then the commercial for the thing that they were promoting was like on the Tron, and I was like,
I didn't catch his face.
Yeah, go back and watch it.
Okay,
big commercial on the Tron as he's coming down the ring, or coming.
You think it was just a mess up?
That's what I thought, because they were like, Cole was promoting it at the exact same time as Theory was coming down, and they had a video going, but then it was on like all of the Trons around the ring too. So maybe it wasn't, maybe it was on purpose, but it was weird because it was his music with that video. It just didn't sync up. It was weird.
I do have a question about another match though. The one with AJ and Finn Balor. Are Anderson and Gallows still fighting Judgment Day? Because they went in the crowd and then they never showed back up.
They're just gone. Yeah.
So they're still on the street somewhere, apparently.
I like that, because it was a good way for them to get out of the way of that match. And that was nice. And it gave the crowd a little bit, and they just went and probably had beers or whatever. But that was another solid match. I kind of even forgot how much I like that match. And I can't remember. Finn won't beat him at the Crown Jewel, right? Finn went over in the last match, I think, didn't he?
I believe he did.
So this was like the tie-up kind of thing. So they're probably going to have another one, I guess. But those two guys clearly have chemistry too, which is awesome to see. But I thought it was a great show. If we're getting back to this fire, I thought it was a great show overall. Did not disappoint. The War Games match. I actually was pleasantly surprised with the women's match, to be honest. And like, I wasn't expecting much just because of the way it kind of came together. But they were violent in that match. There was a lot of cool spots. They were really going balls out too. Like that was, I think they had more like sort of gimmicky spots than the men did, didn't they? Like, I think
they
there
did.
Was,
yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
In fact, my only, not really a complaint because, I mean, they were all solid. When they were throwing the trash cans in, they were just throwing them in and grab another grab. I'm like,
yeah,
someone go grab the can, wait for it, yeah, and hit her with it. All right, yeah, hold on, we gotta wait for her to bring the
put
can
some in. Logic in there.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And there was a couple things that did look a little too,
yeah,
choreographed and rehearsed. You know, they all hit the superplexes at the same time.
Yeah,
and,
mm-hmm,
you know, but besides that, I mean, all 10 of those women we know are just absolutely fantastic, and so yeah, they were all fantastic in the match. So
Rhea looked like a beast. I'll say that.
Yes,
I was going to say, yeah, I'm a big fan of Bianca Belair, but I need, mm-hmm, them to go ahead and put the belt on Rhea Ripley because she is.
I just want to see that match, Rhea, yeah, and Bianca, yeah, man. Yeah,
everything she does is just like the best part of the show. It's,
yeah,
like as soon as she's on screen, sure, it's like, mm-hmm, well, gonna watch this.
Yep.
And not just in the ring but on the mic too. She's, yeah, been fantastic. Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
just a presence. Steve, the great point about the core, see, I will, in those types of matches though, I do give them a little bit of grace in that stuff because, okay, they're trying to do those spots, so
right,
I will kind of, if that was like a regular one-on-one match and they were doing all that setup and it, yeah, but it's a great point because I cut them a little bit of slack because they're doing it because we all expect that there's big spots. But
yeah,
I did find it a little sloppy. Like Io was definitely sloppy at the beginning of that match. There was a few misses there, but then obviously she jumps off the cage, so that makes up for anybody's, yeah, anybody talking about that. But yeah, props. I think the women are still trying. Like, I think they're still, oh, yeah, trying to get that chemistry. They're just not going to be, in my opinion, they're still working on that big gimmicky type match thing because it's, mm-hmm, still kind of new to them, right? But I thought it was enjoyable too.
And Alexa Bliss was in the match, and that just makes me happy.
I agree. Would not agree more. Yeah. Actually, I'm a big Bianca fan, and man, she's looking, yeah, even better every time she gets in that, yeah, ring. And like, yeah, yeah, both technically and physically, she looks great now in the new, like, outfit she's got. So,
like I said, I cannot wait for her and Rhea to hook, yeah, up. That's gonna be.
Yeah, I need her and Rhea, and I need Io and Asuka, because,
yeah,
I've seen
them, yeah, that'll be, yeah, good. Yeah. That'll be good.
I've seen them wrestle each other in Stardom, and it was brutal.
Yeah, they just need some time. I think they just need some, yeah, time. The one that came out most impressive for me in that match was Mia Yim. I thought she looked really strong. She kind of had a lot of cool spots in that match too, and they did a really good job of selling her in that match too, I thought, which was nice to see.
I wasn't going to ask this question originally, but let's quickly do a roundtable. Who are we looking at for favorites for Royal Rumble for both the men and the women?
Mm. Oh, wow.
After, ooh, ooh, now that Survivor Series is in the books, we're starting to see the directions are going. Who are you thinking?
For me, I think Rhea wins the women's Rumble because I think, yeah, that they're leading towards
Bianca
at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. I don't know, the men's is kind of up in the air. If they're doing it to go to the Rumble, I mean, to go to Mania, I'd say KO.
Mm-hmm.
But I know they're still trying to get The Rock in there somehow, mm-hmm, to wrestle Roman. So I wouldn't want The Rock to come in and just win the Rumble because that just irritates me when the part-timers come,
yes,
in and,
yes,
yes,
spot. But, mm-hmm, if they don't end up getting The Rock to come in, I would go with Kevin Owens.
Okay. Good call there. Yeah. Steve.
I was actually thinking, oddly enough, Sami Zayn, but I can actually go with KO as well. Man, we still got, but no, I guess the Rumble is in.
It's the next pay-per-view. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, a little, yeah, over a month. Because that'll give KO a chance at retribution against, you know, trying to get the title off him, kind of get some revenge against Roman, and because he's trying to just show Sammy, look, they're toxic, yeah, you know, and you're with them, and
yeah.
But I could also see Sammy getting it, and that actually his was the first name that popped in my mind, so I'm actually going to go with that just because of that, because this would be like the Sting situation, like you can't have a title shot and be part of us at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, so that'll give that a chance to kind of grow. With the women, yeah, Rhea Ripley. I mean, she definitely, I want to see her win the title, either her or Shayna Baszler. Because,
yeah, I would love for Shayna, yeah, Baszler to beat Ronda Rousey for the SmackDown women's title.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they just seem like they're just hell bent on it being Ronda. And if Rhea doesn't win it, then I think it should be Becky, so that we finally get that one on one Becky and Ronda match that we were supposed to get a few years ago, and they shoehorned Charlotte into it.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and I guess I can't say Ember Moon anymore. that was my pick every year.
Yeah.
You know? He'd say, hey, who do you think is going to win this Rumble? Ember Moon.
Yeah.
maybe her deal's up. You never know. Yeah. For me, I got a couple. I'll go wild cards, sort of fantasy, and then kind of go where I think they might go. So for the men's side, I don't think he would win it, but I do think we see Matt Cardona come back and show up in the Rumble. I think he is absolutely going to be in the Rumble, but I think the winner will be, and actually I'm thinking Nick Aldis, the more we go on this too, I think Aldis shows up, but I think the winner will be Cody. I think his big return comes back. Okay. He enters whatever mid 20s and he does go over. I think Cody wins the Rumble because I don't think, the only reason I say that is because, again, the titles being linked, it might change that still. I don't know if they're still going to be linked by Mania, but they don't need a Rumble result with the Roman storyline, right? I mean, you already have that storyline going with Sammy and now KO, maybe even in there, and the Bloodline thing. The Rumble usually sets up like that feud, but if that's not decided before then, right? I mean, I guess that's where I'm going. Like, they've already got that storyline that's probably going to bleed into Mania. So, again, maybe I'm talking myself out of the Cody pit, because then is there not a title for him to go after? But, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But maybe if they do, maybe they have to end the Bloodline thing at Elimination Chamber, I suppose. But I still think Cody wins the men's. And I think a returning Charlotte Flair wins the women's, and I'm all for it. I was going to say Becky if she didn't come back, but Becky's back. I think they really sold her and Bianca being an allegiance sort of last night. So I think who better than the hated Charlotte come back and take that title off Bianca and get all the heat, right? So I think Charlotte. So those are my picks.
All right. I'm going to quickly say I think Rhea for the women, because you got a built-in storyline of the year Bianca won it. It was Rhea and Bianca were the last two, were they not, in the Women's Rumble? So, and everybody wants to see that match. They want to see those two go at it. And then on the men's side, although I don't necessarily want to see it, not that I don't like the guy, I don't think he's the next one, but I think it's going to be Cody that wins it coming back. But I think what we're going to see is he's going to be winning the title off of Seth at WrestleMania. I think they're going to do something to get the title on Seth. And I think that's where you're going to get that. I keep calling it that there's going to be Sammy is going to be, you know, cost Roman the title. They're going to beat him down like crazy. KO is going to get involved, and you're going to somehow have KO and Sammy taking the tag titles off of the Usos. And then that'll free up The Rock, or free up Roman for The Rock with no title on the line.
That's true. Cause that match doesn't need the title.
Yeah. No, it shouldn't have the title.
Right.
But we'll get into that. I got a theory on that too, but we'll get into that in a little bit, because I want to move on to our... Oh, no, Jay, were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, and all that would tie into Seth and Cody before the injury, right? Before he goes.
It's the rubber match.
The only hiccup to that is how they're building Seth to be a new babyface, right? So now, do you have this version of Seth versus this uber babyface Cody? I don't think so.
I don't necessarily agree that he's a babyface right
now.
I'm saying
they're going, like, it appears to be that they're trying to splatter a babyface sort of into him.
I think
they're
going with the fans is what they're going with. But I think they'll get the babyface part so he can be the one to take it off Roman. So it makes sense. Like, so the fans will be behind Seth wanting to take the title off him. And then they can slowly, with the Cody thing, have him unravel again. And then Cody's the face that wins it. So I don't know. But
who knows? There's also the opportunity for them to still split the titles up too, which I think is still going to be a thing. So,
yeah. All right, cool. So we want to get into the topic. And you guys brought this up, and I like it. Simple question. Why are we wrestling fans? and then
very meta. It's a very meta question.
Exactly. Oh, you sound like David Shoemaker there. But why are we wrestling fans? And I guess the reason goes into the next question is because of the heroes and the villain side of it. But what's your thoughts on that, guys? Because you had mentioned that you wanted to talk about that.
For me, when I first became a wrestling fan, I was all of 10 years old. And I mean, at first I was kind of drawn to the athleticism of it because I'm seeing these guys are running at each other, but then they're jumping over each other on the leapfrogs and things like that. I still remember it's like one of the first wrestling memories I have.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you see the storylines and you're seeing a real, well, I mean, kind of us versus them, you know, good versus evil type of thing. And this was every, and I grew up watching Mid-Atlantic wrestling because I was living in North Carolina at the time. So, which later, of course, became Jim Crockett, which merged, eventually evolved into what we know as WCW. Mm-hmm. And the storylines back then, it seemed like they were a lot more realistic because, and Dwayne and I, we've talked about this quite a bit, you know, the matches, every match, you know, except for enhancement matches were enhancement matches. We didn't know they were called enhancement matches back then, but we just knew it was a somebody who was really good beating somebody who, well, stunk. And, you know, but the other ones, okay, they're fighting for a title. You know, okay, we used to be tag team partners, now we're fighting. Or, you know, or wait, what's some of the other ones? Oh, there's a bounty in this. I mean, there was always a reason for the match, and it always kept the fans interested. And plus, watching that, the brutality of it, because most people are attracted to violence, you know, and which is almost kind of sad and scary to say, but people are attracted to it. You see, you know, there's a car wreck and everybody would turn their heads and look for it, you know, so it's the same thing. But with wrestling, it was that mixture of, you know, the brutal matches, plus you had the scientific and the aerial type stuff with like the Rock and Roll Express and even the Midnight Express, even though they were bad guys, you know, they were heels. Bobby Eaton, the man barely set foot on the ring itself. He was always up in the air.
You know, yeah, that's true, yeah.
Yeah, and I got to mention the Midnight Express because that's Waylon's favorite team of all time.
Mm.
You know, so I always got to give them shout-outs. And then when I first discovered the wrestling magazines,
yes,
now that opened up, oh, my God, there's wrestling, you know, in Portland. There's wrestling in Canada, and you guys already knew that. But you know, but there's wrestling way. Okay, yeah, there's the Stampede that's ran by this family called the Hearts. And then you're like, oh, my God, there's this the Von Erichs down in Texas. Then you had the Colognes down in Puerto Rico. And it was a totally different world for me, and I just immersed myself into it. I mean, almost like comic books. And I think there's a lot of crossover with comic fans because, I mean, I like comics. Joylin's a big Batman fan. Go ahead and throw that out there. So, but he knows, I mean, I'm pretty sure, you know, you think it's like you see the good and evil in the rings and you also see the good and evil in the pages of the comics.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like comic books were kind of like, you know, our mythology. Mm-hmm. For me, wrestling is like that. Wrestling is kind of like my version of mythology. It's like you have, you know, There's some grays. You do have the quote unquote cool heel and everything, but for the most part, you've got a defined group of good guys and a defined group of bad guys, and good versus evil. And you know, there's the crux of your story. I've been a fan of wrestling since I was 5 years old. My grandmother watched it religiously and got me into it. And for me, one of the things that appealed to me was, I started out watching Jim Crockett promotions, so I hadn't seen WWE, so I hadn't seen the Land of the Giants yet, and I saw average-looking guys doing amazing things in the ring, because, I mean, you look at a guy like Tully Blanchard, who was like 5'10", you know, he's out there picking up guys twice his size doing slingshot suplexes, and, you know, Arn Anderson was a big guy, but not compared to guys you would see in WWE, and, like, it's just, and then you had Dusty, you know, who looked like the truck driver who lived next door. But then he'd get in the ring, beat the crap out of people. And, I mean, you had your Road Warriors and your Powers of Pain and guys like that. But for me, it's always been I can relate more to wrestlers that don't look like they're carved out of stone. Now, nothing against Bobby Lashley, because in my opinion, if you built a wrestler from the ground up, Bobby Lashley would be what you'd get. But I can relate more to a guy like Kevin Owens, who just looks like an everyday guy. Mm-hmm. It just happens to be able to beat people up.
Yeah.
But like Steve was saying about the magazines, like I discovered the magazines, but then later on, especially when ECW was first starting to get hot, when I was in college, I discovered tape trading. That's how I learned about, you know, wrestling, a lot of wrestling in Japan. So like All Japan Pro Wrestling, New Japan Pro Wrestling. And I got to see like Stan Hansen wrestle in Japan, and the stuff he was doing to guys in Japan should be considered a felony, because he was just murdering people up there. Him and Vader were just literally almost killing people in Japan. He
popped Vader's eye out.
Yeah.
Vader
stuck it back in. And, and you even got to see Hulk Hogan actually wrestle, because in Japan, he had no choice but to wrestle, because he was going to get the crap otherwise. You know, he could get away with coasting on, you know, 3-4 moves in the States, but in Japan, he was actually had to wrestle, and was actually a good wrestler. I wish they would have shown more of that in the States.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Jay, do you want to touch on him just quickly?
I think we talked about this
in other episodes, but
yeah, I won't dwell on it, cause I think the guys hit it for me too. I mean, I guess when I kind of introspectively look at it, cause it's just entertainment for me, I guess. So that's on the surface. Mm-hmm. It's enjoyable, and it takes me away, and it's an escape and all that stuff. So whatever fandom you want to be a part of, that's part of it. But I'm with Steve, like and BC knows this, because he's always been the storyteller guy and the promo guy and all that stuff. And I've always been slap two guys in a match together. If they're good, then I'm going to enjoy it, because technically, right? I've started to veer away from that a little bit and like need a little more kind of story, but it's the athleticism for me too. Like I get like insanely passionate about defending these guys as athletes. Right. I mean, I think they're, if anything, the top of the top for athletes in the world. Like, I don't think you can even question that. And people who don't know, they just don't know. But like, if you've ever been in a ring, which I can say I was only briefly in one, but like, you can get blown up just running the ropes, and it's not that hard to do, to get like gassed and winded in just these small spurts. Right. So I think that's the biggest thing for me, is how athletic and how entertaining these guys and girls are. And it's like, to combine top world performing athletes with best actors. And I know they're not all great actors, but they all do a pretty damn good job of acting for what they're supposed to do. So like, to me, that's why I love it. Cause it's like, gives me the best of all of that. And I am a sports guy, but so that hits that thing too. But I love the kind of the storytelling element as well. So yeah, I think that's all for it. But on the very surface for me, it's just a nice escape from this crazy, crazy world. And I just get to turn on something that's really enjoyable for me. And there's nothing I don't like about it. You know what I mean? And that's why I love it.
My wife said that pro wrestlers are the best one take actors in the 100%. World. Because, I mean, yeah, they have 100%. To do it right then. They don't get, you know, they don't get to do multiple takes. They're live and they have to get it right.
Well, they do sometimes, and it looks really bad when they try and redo a move. So
yeah,
they should just avoid redoing it if they screw it up.
Yeah. I caught that a couple of times last night. They were trying to do a spot where they were supposed to be on the other side of the ropes. Well, they didn't quite land, so they just kind of stepped through the ropes to set up the next move with them.
Yeah, Dakota, I saw that one with Dakota Kai. She kind of like, you can totally notice it. That's why you just like, just figure it out. Like, land where you're going to land and roll or something. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Well, and for me, it's kind of the same as all you guys combined. I mean, being a kid of the 80s, these guys were superheroes. Like, it's funny. I was listening to Cornette talk about the new Von Erich movie that's coming out. And he's like, he couldn't understand. Like, they hired MJF to do Lance Von Erich. And he can't understand why they wouldn't have other wrestlers doing the Von Erichs. It's like, that he said that was the difference back then. You couldn't do a movie about these guys because you couldn't find anybody that looked like these guys. Nowadays, I can find 8 million people that look like these guys that are in the ring now, right? And that's what probably kind of veers me away from wrestling a lot of times. That's probably why I stick more closely to the WWE than I do other places. But it was the whole, it's the superhero, the storytelling. It's just, like you say, an escape, Jay. I can turn my brain off. I don't have to overthink it. That's another thing that drives me crazy when, my God, like, except like when it's well done, like the Bray thing. I mean, you're gonna have to think about that one for a while, but you know eventually where it's going to lead to. But these, when you get into way too much thinking in wrestling, that's not a good thing. You know, it's like you're supposed to be leading the fans to come to the conclusion themselves so that they want to see it. You know, and if they don't know what they want to see, then that's a problem right there. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's just the whole escape, this superhero good versus evil. You know, it's almost like a roller coaster ride. You almost want to be frustrated with the bad guy for that long. Mm-hmm. I mean, you mm-hmm. talked about a guy like Tully Blanchard, so good at frustrating the living hell out of you. That yes. The whole point of wrestling being you want to go to the arena to see that guy get beat up, or so exactly. that you want to see the baby face, right? And that's the whole beauty of it, that sometimes it seems so easy, but then it seems like they, and I'll include Vince in this, they lost the plot for a little while of what they're doing. Yeah. And that's what Triple H is doing. Like Jay, you talked about it. He's making these changes, but he's not making wholesale changes. He's just tweaking. And all it took was those little tweaks to make it more enjoyable again. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just letting things play out instead of trying to rush it or manufacture it. Just the fans are going to tell you what they want. They're going to tell you if they like what's going on or not. So just let it play out, because I mean, you're literally playing to the crowd. So let the crowd tell you how it's going.
Yeah.
Let it be organic. I mean, that's one of the things we always harp on, is let it happen organically. Don't try to force it. Like, you know, how many years were they trying to force Roman to be a fan favorite?
Yeah.
You know,
And
the fans were like, we're not having it because he's saying things like suffering succotash. We're not going to cheer for this guy because you're shoving him down our throats. And, you know, we were saying for years, turn the man heel, give him a mouthpiece.
Yeah.
Because he was having trouble doing promos and people just weren't buying it. They turned him heel. And then he didn't need a mouthpiece because all of a sudden his heel promos were great.
It's funny how that worked out. Yeah.
Yeah. And now, he gets more cheers than boos.
Yeah.
Even though he's supposed to be the final boss of everything and get booed, but the fans love him now because, like you said, Steve, everything happened organically and he got over on his own instead of the company forcing it down our throats.
Yeah. And he'll say, acknowledge me. They'll say it right along with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, now
I was at SummerSlam and that whole stadium, as soon as he said it, everybody said, acknowledge me.
Yeah. I'm going to do a hot take right here on Roman, and bear with me for a couple moments here, guys, because I'm going to say this will get some tongues a wagging with the IWC, but I've been doing that lately, so that's fine. But Roman Reigns to me right now, and I think he proved it last night to me, and I'll explain why. He's the best wrestler in the world right now. And I know that everybody's going to say, what are you talking about? We got a world.
Yeah, I don't think that's really a hot take.
But I mean, like, you're going to have people say that, oh, you got Bryan Danielson, or you got, you know, Kenny Omega, or you got Okada or something like that. But people forget, it's not about the moves in the ring all the time. It's the overall package. And the most important thing is that you want to see this person get beat, and you want to have a believability that this person may not be able to be beat. So that it makes it even more. And last night, I really noticed during that, like, he's just been unbelievable with just his facial expressions.
Yeah.
And
just him the body language alone has been, he tells a better story with his body language.
Yeah.
Than just a him lot sitting of in that cage.
Tell, yeah. In a year with promos.
Yeah. Just looking annoyed. Furthering that point, did you see when he first gets in there, he's giving everybody like that uppercut shot, and he gives one to KO, and KO kind of falls on him, that just like disgrace, like pushing him off that in and of itself like he's Oscar disgusted, worthy. Like, he's just like get the me. Fuck off me, you know what I mean? Like, what are you doing, right?
Yeah, you piece of garbage.
Like, it was perfect. It was perfect. Like, KO did it perfectly because he's like selling it, and then Roman just disgustedly pushes him away like you garbage human being, like, get off me, you know what I mean? Like,
that not totally just reminds me not of, just that though sorry
Roman do, reminds me of Kurt Angle was like that. Kurt Angle at in his prime was the best wrestler in the world, not just the technical skills, but
the mic,
the whole package, the promos, the body language, everything. And I agree with completely with you, BC, that Roman is the best right now.
Well, is anybody actually going to see, and I'm not picking on AEW here, I'm just going to say, because most people put Kenny or Bryan Danielson, is anybody going to the arena to see Kenny get beat at this point in time, or at any point in time in the last little while? No.
No.
They want to see Roman get beat. He's driving them so crazy. They're like, oh, he's got the stranglehold. And I love the whole, like, oh, he's not defending the title off. We see him once a month. That's all you need to do. Yeah. If you're in the UFC, that's all you need to do. If you're in box, that's all you need to do. He's on TV all the time with the bloodline. What he did last night during that match, as far as the facials, like, even at the end, like, well, okay, number one, when he came out of that cage, first of all, kudos to Kevin Dunn for those camera shots, because when he had his head down and came out of that cage, he just felt like the biggest person in professional wrestling at that point. And even then, they shot to the ring, and everybody just paused, and they're like, oh my God, Roman's coming, here we go, right? And that was just amazing. But you had to have, it wasn't like it was fake green like that. Like, you could almost see, like, these guys are like, okay, now shit's going to hit the fan, right? Because Roman's coming in. And then he gets in the ring. Like you said, that move with KO was beautiful, Jay. Just tossing him aside.
Yeah.
But yet he's selling for people when he's getting hit, but in a believable way. And then at the very end, when finally Sammy comes through and he's there for the bloodline, and you would think, you even have Jay jump in his arms and he's hugging him and lifting him. And yet at the closing shot, you still have that look on Roman's face where you're still thinking, you still think he might snap and just destroy Sammy. And that's why
I thought it was still going to happen. And
I expected it. I expected a Superman punch or something at the end.
Yes.
Because he's looking at Sammy like, nah, I still don't trust you.
Yeah. So you know what he's doing? He's putting suspense in everything. Mm-hmm. So you're now going to tune in next week to see, which is what we asked for in wrestling, is suspense with it. And you just think he's going to snap just from the simple, like the way he flares his nostril in the dressing room is like just this hate. Like, the guy's been unbelievable. And like, I know people are like, just think that, oh my God, he's Vince's boy or this or that or the other thing. The guy is on another level. And I'm sure Heyman's contributing a lot as far as the storyline with all that. But and Sammy's being the perfect antagonist to that. Mm-hmm. Although they are teammates right now, he's still the antagonist because he's just this completely opposite character, the funny guy and all this.
Right.
So that he's now built Sammy up to a point that you cannot wait for Sammy to get on a turn face. And it's just been unbelievable. Like, this has been an amazing run. And the other thing is, you think even 2 years ago, like, and let's not say 3 years ago, 2 years, he's a year into his bloodline run and head of the table. And when people are talking about him facing The Rock at WrestleMania, everybody's like, oh, I don't want to see that. The Rock's going to beat him. He's going to take the title. Right now, if you think about it, I can easily say that I have a feeling that he would win that match because he seems so huge right now, which it's just amazing what they've done with Roman Reigns. And that's, to me, that's the overall package of a wrestler. Yeah. It's like when people crap on Hogan and say, well, he couldn't wrestle. Well, yeah, but he was drawing people into the building to come see him. Or Brett, well, he couldn't talk. Yeah, well, but he was doing this, that, and the other thing. Like, you need that whole package, right?
But I think it's also short-sighted in, like, perspective, because Hogan could wrestle. I've seen the highlights from
Japan. He didn't need to, though.
Me too. I've seen
it. They didn't let him wrestle. Like, Vince didn't let him do that style. That wasn't Terry Bollea's fault. That was the promotions he was in's fault. Yeah. Like, that was...
Plus, he didn't have to.
He didn't have to.
You know, Hogan figured out early that I can maximize the minimum amount of work and be the biggest star in the business.
Right. Mm-hmm. Except he picked a finishing move that, like, wasn't the greatest for his walking ability, probably.
Yeah.
But...
yeah, because he's had how many back surgeries now because of that?
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, crazy.
Both of his hips have been replaced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he got on a videotape and he started dropping racial terms. You know, we're like, that's not the same Hulk Hogan. But that's funny that, you know, because Hogan went from being a hero, but then he was like the biggest villain in wrestling when he turned, because Dwaylen was the one who told me, you know, because I was in the Air Force, so stationed in Japan and all that's going on. And we weren't getting the stuff like real time. I came back from Japan and it was Dwaylen and another friend of ours named Chris who said, by the way, Hulk Hogan's a bad guy now. And I went, do what? What? And it just blew my mind. And then I saw it and I was like, oh my God, not only is he a bad guy, he is the bad guy.
Oh,
But you know, when I would talk about like the heroes and villains, this is actually something else I want to kind of point on another reason why we love wrestling so much.
Mm-hmm.
And Jay actually kind of hit on it without even realizing it when he referred to him as Terry Bollea. Because when we go to the conventions, like for example, you go to a Comic-Con, you're not meeting like Jason Voorhees. You know, you're meeting Kane Hodder, the guy behind the mask. You know, same thing with Leatherface. Mm-hmm. You're meeting Toby Hooper. You're meeting Robert Englund instead of Freddy Krueger. We go to a wrestling convention, just like, I mean, I went to one not so long ago, and I could say, yeah, I met Glenn Jacobs, I met Chris Chavis, I met Aurelian Smith and his brother Mike, or I could say, I met Kane, I met Tatanka, I met Jake the Snake and his brother Sam Houston.
Yeah.
So we're actually meeting the characters, we're hanging out with the characters they're portraying, and that's another reason why, I mean, I've just been just so enamored with wrestling, because you're kind of hanging out with the, and some people we do know use their real names, you know, Bret the Hart family, they always use their real names, with Von Erichs, I mean, their names was Atkinson, you know, not Von Erich. And so, but when you're meeting them, you're meeting Kerry Von Erich, and you know, the bronze guy who was just there was not a whole lot of people had a body like Kerry Von Erich, by the way.
No,
but I mean, in another convention, I met Richard Blood, also known as Ricky Steamboat. Finn has just stuck with the name Richard Blood, by the way. That sounds like a cool wrestling name already.
Dick Blood.
I was kind of thinking that too, and I was like, well, maybe that's the reason why he changed it.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah. You know, but I mean, I think that's another reason why we like that so much, because we can go meet our hero or the people that we like to boo. And now, granted, this wouldn't have happened, you know, 10, 20 years ago, because kayfabe was still kind of, kayfabe is for some, it's still there a little bit in some instances, but not like it was back then, when you would have never had a villain, you know, at something like this, you know, signing autographs, taking pictures with the fans. Yeah, you would have never had that, but now you do. And I think that's another is why, as the sport's evolved, I mean, I've gotten to liking it even more, to the point where I've asked one of my best friends in the world to do a podcast with me. You know, so now we're involved, and you know, and even before Joellen, had another one of my good friends, he was at the coast before that. And so this is something else. I mean, it's kept our, now it's almost like, an obligation. We have to keep up with it, you know, but it's not a bad obligation.
Yeah.
You know, so right. I mean, yeah, once again, so I'm always going to, you know, love the sport or the entertainment because of, you know, it's to me, it's more real sometimes than the real world. And the people who look back, and I'm pretty sure, and I know Joanne and I have talked about this, but I'm pretty sure, you know, you've caught shit from people who say, oh my God, you're a wrestling fan. You know, and they look down on it. They're like, I'm going to watch Kardashians. You watch wrestling.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You're a Kardashian fan. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
like, you want to talk about magic of these guys. Let me ask you this. You guys football fans, or what sports do you follow? Like
football,
football, college basketball. College basketball.
Okay. So let's just use football as an example. If football, if NFL or college football came out today and said, by the way, every one of these games is fixed, it's all predetermined and the scores are known beforehand, but we're still going to play the game. Would anybody watch that all?
They still watch the NBA and it's already like
that. Yeah, I know. That's why. But seriously, like, think about that. The wrestling world has told us this is fake. Yeah. This is completely made up. This is the results are known. Completely these guys scripted. Are not trying to. And yet, how many millions of people still watch this? Still, have how many podcasts about wrestling when we're talking about the art form? To me, I think, I don't know if it was Dalen or Steve that said, like, this is an art form. This is like our version of Shakespeare or whatever you want to call it at this time, right?
That's a good point.
Yeah, and you know, to me, I used to catch all sorts of hell from, you know, like the kids my age. And then later on, even now, I had somebody say to me a couple years ago, you have a master's degree. You like wrestling? Yeah. And they say, and you ought to count the number of wrestlers who have master's degrees.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of them. And to me, it does kind of span like every kind of culture you can think of. There's going to be somebody there who likes wrestling and they're a wrestling fan for the same, you know, maybe some of the same or maybe a combination of the same reasons we all like it, because we all have similar reasons, but we also have different reasons why we like it. And to me, it just, you go to a wrestling event and you can, like another friend of mine, you say you could do a lot of good people watching when you're at a wrestling event.
Yeah. You know? That's for sure. Yeah. That's for sure. Like the low brow connotation, I never really understood that. And I get it. It stems back to the Kearney days and all that stuff. But like, to your point, Steve, it is a pretty eclectic crowd when you go to like a local live event. And yeah, I mean, it's maybe like some like not high class, high society people there, but isn't that what any sport would want. They would want a big cross section of population. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like you have us who may be a little more educated, maybe middle class, whatever. And then you have this kids who are just there saving up money to go that one show a week. Like, isn't that what you want? Like this lowbrow kind of like perception of the entertainment. I never really got. Yeah. Now we talked about this last week on our show, the links between horror. And that was sort of brought up that like, oh shit, I'd never really clued in. There's a lot of horror fans, like horror movie fans, that are actually wrestling fans as well. And it's because that same connotation for that movie genre, right? It's like looked down upon. It's not high class cinema, whatever. Right. And I was like, oh my God, that's actually a really good take. But anyway, I've never got it, cause it doesn't make any sense. You have super smart, intelligent people in the business that watch the business, that are performing, directing, producing, all that stuff. It just doesn't add up. It's like saying like ice skating, you know what I mean? Oh my God. It's like you watch ice skating. What are you doing? Like, that would be the same analogy, cause it doesn't make any sense. Like, it's just
you look at the MCU for movies, you know, it is, you know, comic books were the same way. It was, comic book movies when they first started, people considered those lowbrow until the MCU took off. And now it is a billion-dollar industry.
Yeah.
Wrestling's the same way. And it's like nobody wants to respect the work that these people put in, you know, night in and night out. These people are literally putting their bodies on the line every time they get in there, and you know, they're doing things that you've never seen before. Some of them are doing things that nobody else can do but that particular wrestler. And it's just, I'm like you, Jay, I don't understand the lowbrow connotation, because for me, it is the greatest sport in the world.
Yeah,
I agree.
Well, it'd be like McDonald's saying, well, we only want to sell our hamburgers to lawyers. That's it.
Right.
Nobody else, you know.
Nobody else can get a Big Mac. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure they're happy when you walk into McDonald's and you see a lawyer, a doctor, a beggar, and a, you know, whoever, right? They want every customer, just like wrestling wants too. So an eclectic audience actually makes for more of an experience.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think we do it to ourselves, because then again, I watch everything, but I even blame AEW fans, because they sit there on their high horse and say, we're so much better than this group or that group. And you like WWE, you suck. We're AEW fans. It's like we do it to ourselves as fans in the wrestling kind of fandom too. It's like, no, everything is just like different variations of, we should just all enjoy it all. Right. Like what you like and just enjoy it. But I think
always say that we're wrestling fans. We're not
right. WWE exactly.
Or AEW or Impact. Cause I'm like you, Jay, I watch it all. And it's like, I just love the sport of pro wrestling, and I don't pick one company over the other. I might prefer something in one company over something else. Like there's things about AEW that I prefer over WWE and vice versa. There's also things, a lot of stuff I prefer in New Japan that none of the other companies do. So, but it's, I don't understand this picking and choosing thing, because there's so much content out there. There's literally a type of wrestling for every fan.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we know the IWC is insane anyway.
They are.
I couldn't believe this week when I put that tweet out about MJF. Like, literally, it's a joke tweet about MJF using Jim Cornette's catchphrase. That's it. It wasn't to incite.
He broke the internet.
I know.
And I didn't see it. I mean, because I was even looking for it. What exactly was it?
Literally, I put a tweet out there. I forget the exact wording, but basically, the fact that MJF got Jim Cornette's catchphrase over with AEW fans without them realizing is the greatest heel move ever. Right? He used thank you, fuck it, bye, and people went bananas. I saw people making T-shirts of that, which, by the way, Cornette will probably be suing them to high heaven. But like, it wasn't a appraisal of Jim Cornette or anything like that, and it wasn't, you know, to pick on AEW fans. It was just funny. It was funny that to see people online, and then I just got all this. Oh my God, there's still people
really
having conversations.
Yeah.
And I usually don't go back and forth. I have one guy that went back and forth. I'm not going to mention the name because he thinks he even said, like, oh, you're just going to use your podcast to sick people. I mean, I'm like, no, dude. Like, number one, I said, we're not a popular podcast.
Yeah, I'm not sure how many fans you think we have.
I said, but honestly, and at the end, I said, we're talking about, watching oiled up men in their underwear roll around, right? Like,
yeah.
this shouldn't be this big of a deal. It should be, but people just get so crazy and on one side or the other. It's kind of like, well, you guys see it with the politics down there. That's either one side or the other. But people don't realize that's just such a small smattering of the overall picture. Really, most people just want to watch wrestling. We don't want to see a company go out of business. I mean, we'd rather see, like, because we know WWE can produce a show that's really high quality. So we'd like to see them succeed because we know we're going to get like the biggest and boldest show.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that we don't want AEW to succeed. And if they had a hot product, just like when we watched WCW back in the day, we watched it because it was a hot product. I wasn't looking for them to go out of business or anything like that, but people just get so nuts about this stuff.
Yeah, I saw a great sign in the crowd, and I think it was on Raw or SmackDown or something. Maybe even been AEW. It might have been Dynamite. It just was like, period, point blank, just enjoy wrestling. That's like literally the entire sign. Just enjoy wrestling. Yeah. Like, to me, that hammers it home. We've talked about it all the time. Like, just watch it and enjoy it for what it is. Stop picking it apart and complaining.
And if you don't like it, turn it off.
And turn it off. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. If you don't like it,
turn it off. But
well, it's like GCW. I don't.
Because they do like it.
Yeah. Yeah, like I don't watch GCW, but that's just my preference. It's not a thing for me. I might flip it on a pay-per-view, but that's about it.
Right.
NWA, I try and catch, but it's a little bit old schooly. BC knows this. It's a little bit too old schooly for me. Impact I do like, so I try and catch that one again, but it's like just don't watch. Like, you don't have to like everything. I wouldn't watch the Insane Clown Posse's. Is that still on? I don't know if it is.
oh, the Juggalo Champion.
Yeah, like I wouldn't watch that, but I'm sure people do enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and funny thing, you know, you're talking about the political situation. That's one of the first rules Dwayne and I had when we were talking about starting this podcast was we don't discuss politics, we don't discuss religion. And we actually do keep our language family friendly. And on your show, I can come on here and I can say fucking shit all along.
Yes, go ahead. Let it out, my friend.
That's all me, though, Steve. That's not BC's influence. That's just all me.
In ours, we decided, we'll keep it family friendly. But, you know, with the politics, it's because you could go down rabbit holes, which you'll never be able to get out of.
Yeah.
And Dwayne and I think are a prime example of two people who are close friends who do not think the same politically whatsoever.
No,
you know, we're very opposite, but we're also showing, you know what, you may not agree with somebody, but you can still be not just friends, but close friends with them.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so the people who are on, well, I'm team WWE, I'm team AEW, I'm team Jacob, I'm team whatever the other dude was in the Twilight movies, you know, you know, you had team bestiality, team necrophilia, whatever. you can still be friends with somebody even if you're not on the same team. So
absolutely. That's called life and getting along with people and coexisting. It's like, how boring would the world be if we all thought the same thing? Like that should be your goal to immerse yourself with different views. Like, anyway, we could go.
And I mean, it's unreal. Like I say, I use Cornette as the example. Man, like, who cares? Like, if you don't like him, you don't like him. But you can still say, well, geez, the guy does know
he has good takes, wrestling, and he has good takes every now and again. Like, it's whatever. Or that.
You know, even like whoever, I don't know. Like, say, like if you're not a Trump person, well, just because you don't like the guy doesn't mean that he hasn't said one or two things that maybe made a little bit of sense. It doesn't mean that you had to completely go off the rails and you know.
Yeah, but you put it, it's all or nothing, right? That's
it's all or nothing. That's the way wrestling has gotten, right? It's the same way. It's like all or nothing. It's like, and it's really hindering your own enjoyment of wrestling. Like it's like I couldn't imagine just being all AEW and never criticizing anything that they do, because don't you want to see the product improve? Like when we criticize is because we're saying, geez, I wish they'd do that better, because I'd really like to enjoy that show. I'd really like to watch that show, you know, or I wish, you know, I don't know, I wish Kenny just didn't do so much, or maybe the Young Bucks. I'll use the Young Bucks for example. I wish the Young Bucks just didn't do so much foolishness or so much pandering or this or that, because I know they could possibly really wrestle well and probably be enjoyable to watch, but it just drives you crazy enough that I don't want to watch it. I want to flick the channel or something like that, right? Or I don't know, if you don't like the Seth Rollins character or something. I don't know, but it's just, yeah, it's unreal. It's all or nothing. I couldn't imagine that. I'm like you guys, I'm watching a lot of product. I can't get to everything because there's not enough hours in the day, but yeah, you know, I watch a lot of product because I'm just waiting to see something really good from it. I loved it. I loved finding out about the Golden Boy on NWA. Hadn't seen him before. And I saw him like, holy shit, this guy is awesome. I can't wait. I want to follow this guy. You know, Nick Aldis, you mentioned Nick Aldis, Jay, could you imagine people just ignoring that guy for so long when he's been doing so much non-AEW, non-WWE stuff? Like, this guy has been, he's like the picture of a champion. We talk about Tom Latimer all the time. Yeah. Another guy that we would love to see.
If you're not watching Impact, you're not seeing Moves.
All these guys, ladies too. But I couldn't imagine just ignoring that stuff and only because they're not this brand. And what?
Right.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. One last thing I wanted to mention. So you did mention and I know what you mean. Why are we wrestling fans? Because they are the last true heroes and villains. But I do, taking off that question, who do you right now see? We mentioned Roman, obviously. He's doing a fantastic job of being a villain. But who else in your eyes are truly doing a great job of being either a hero or a villain in the industry right now?
When I think villain, honestly, I was thinking MJF, but he's also kind of become the popular heel where people like him because he's good in the ring. But at the same time, I mean, MJF loves to get a crowd going. He loves to get the crowd hating him. But to me, he's one of the best heels I've ever seen. And I will say, when she's a heel, Alexa Bliss, when she's been a heel, she's been like the best heel in the company. Because I mean, she was just playing evil, and I kind of like that. So,
it's more along your personal life there, Steve.
she was a good heel because you just wanted to see her get beat, but she managed to pull out the victories time and time again. So, that's my answer for that one.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I'd have to agree. I think MJF is probably the best heel in wrestling right now. He knows his timing is perfect. He knows exactly how to draw the fans in and make them think, oh, he's going to say something or do something good. And then nope, not doing it. And he knows exactly when to pull the rug out from under him. And it's like, you can just tell he's enjoying being the bad guy. Mm-hmm. And that it reminds me a lot of Roddy Piper. Roddy Piper loved mm-hmm. being the bad guy. Mm-hmm. And that just made his character better and more appealing. I think Rhea Ripley is doing an awesome job as a heel.
Yes, yes.
You can tell she's enjoying herself being a heel. As far as a face goes, I'm a fan of Hangman Adam Page. I think he's been a really good face. I still think they should have kept the world title on him a little longer than they did before he dropped it. But I think he's done a really good job. He's out now recovering from a concussion, but I think he's a really good face right now.
Jay, any come to mind besides the obvious?
Yeah, so MJF's obviously been touched on, and I agree he's one of the best kind of villains, but I think for me, it's not even a sentimental thing. I think this guy has truly been this for a long time. I think Chris Jericho is still one of the best villains on TV. I think he does an amazing job of pissing people off. Even when you think he's kind of pandering, he's really not. And then he's got all of the faction stuff and he's including people that people hate, which is probably part of the whole role. Like naming people Daddy Magic, come on, he's doing that on purpose, right? Yeah. I mean, that's pissing people off. So I think Jericho has been phenomenal as a villain in the last few years. And then I think I would say the running through True Heroes, there's not many. Like, there's really there's not many. They've tried to make Drew. Mm. They've tried to make other people. But I think the only person, especially with the flip-flop and a Becky, like, the only person that's a true hero for the last couple of years is Bianca. I think that's the only person.
Yeah. I was going to mention her. Yeah.
They really have made Bianca feel like a true hero, and she's taken out all the baddies, and she's always fighting the good fight and all that stuff. She's never wavered. She's never hinted at anything. So I think that's, to me, the only... Even on AEW's roster, they go flip-floppy so much with like some of the things that they do, and even like good guys doing heelish things. So Bianca, to me, is the only really hero that stands out lately. Cena, obviously, but he's not been active forever. So
You know, right now, I mean, I think Bianca, as much as what people love her, she could go up and slap a baby and people say, well, you know what, the baby deserved it.
That baby had it coming.
You took her from me, Jay, because I was going to say Bianca is the one baby face that we're okay with having a title around her waist and then staying there. She's been fantastic. And you're right. She does a great job of walking that line of being a true hero in that. I was going to say as well, heel from the women's side, obviously Rhea's a great pick by Dwayne in there. Yeah. And I know she gets a lot of heat, but I still think that Britt Baker does a great job of being a heel.
Yeah, she does.
Honestly,
she flirts too much with the crowd cheering, though, and she kind of panders a little bit, but you're right. She does a great job.
And then on the men's side, quite obvious who you guys mentioned, but I'm going to say one more, maybe on a smaller scale, but once again, he went out and proved that he knows how to be a heel and how to get heat was Bully Ray over in Impact.
Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah.
I mean, he's doing it right now. He's antagonizing Josh Alexander to get a title shot. And
not afraid of nuclear heat, right?
Yeah.
You just made me think, throw Cardona in that too. Like, look at how he reinvented himself. Mm-hmm. Going to all these promotions and being the most pissed, like the most hated guy on showing up in GCW and NWA. And he's been doing fantastic too.
I thought they were going to tear that ring
apart. Oh my God. Like,
I'll take your belt and I'll take your belt and I'll take your belt.
Exactly. Yeah. He was just a belt collector for a while. Yeah. Like,
and he's living it. He's like, he milks it online too. Like, it's great. I think we should. I think we'd be doing a disservice if we didn't say Charlotte's one of the best heels too. Whether you like her or not, hate her when she's on their screen.
I hate
and that's
when they
her
try
job.
To turn her face because she's she's
the
much
natural
better
heel.
She is absolutely should be a heel forever.
Just like her dad, he said he preferred wrestling heel, and you know she's the same way because and you have to be good in the ring to be an effective heel. I think.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And people will say, oh, it's like Xbox. No, that isn't a thing. Like, if you're drawing that reaction, it's a reaction that people hate you. It doesn't matter why they hate you.
Yeah.
Like, you're doing your job.
Yeah.
Basically,
I mean,
right?
And we'll have to consult Ted to make sure, you know, we're saying this right, you know, because he really is the expert on heels. But yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, by the way, Ted, he is awesome. I just have to throw that out.
He really is.
Of course. Shout out to Ted every episode, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a good call on Charlotte as well. And then who popped into my head just now? I just lost it. It was somebody. Well, Sammy is going to be an amazing baby face when this whole turn happens because he's done such a great job of building himself up to be this heel in the bloodline. So you got that as well. So yeah, but he's not quite there yet, but he will be. He will be amazing. There was somebody else that popped in mind. I just completely lost. I was trying to give AEW a little bit more credit.
Dude, you're right.
But I guess Punk's doing a great job of being a heel right now.
Whether he wants to or not,
he's doing so good. They're trying to negotiate his release. So.
Well, talk about that, though. Like, I think we have to say Kenny. After last week's Dynamite,
Kenny's
the biggest heel on their roster right now.
Oh, yeah.
With those antics.
But are they the heels? Meanwhile,
but what I'm saying is he should be because he's playing the dick pretty good on TV.
But then he's not doing a good job of doing what he's supposed to be doing, right? Like that's the I don't know. Just
that's the ironic thing coming into play, like you say though. Like
that's what drives me crazy. Yeah.
I just think like literally those three guys are just assholes in real life, and I think that's just who they are. It's starting to come to light, I think.
Well, what do you always say, Dwayne? Personality amped up to 11.
Exactly.
All right. I'll get you one more. I'll say I'm not a fan of him, but he knows his niche. He knows his crowd. and he knows how to play to it is Eddie Kingston.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Eddie Kingston. Yeah.
He's the working man's hero type of thing.
Yeah,
right?
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's playing into that. So yeah, I'll give him credit for that too. But yeah. I mean, there's not many. It's unfortunate that we can't name off all that many of them, but Brock Lesnar, when he comes back, knows how to play whichever role he needs to play too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, people don't think that he's a good worker, but he's fantastic as far as that goes.
I mean, it's just one of it. It's like Brock has to be motivated, and mm-hmm. Brock likes working with smaller guys. Mm-hmm. He said in interviews, he's like, he wants to work with smaller, quicker guys, because then you have that contrast between this beast and this speed demon over here. And that's why he had such good matches with, you know, Bryan Danielson and AJ Styles and Finn Balor, guys like that, because, you know, you get two big bulls together, your story's told. It's just, yeah. You know.
And yeah. Matches usually aren't that good with two big bulls.
Yeah.
You know, that just, okay, another power move. Oh, yay. You know, just like when, you know, when he and Drew McIntyre, now Drew McIntyre can actually do a lot more moves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they had what Brock doing a couple of F5s, a couple of Germans, and then Drew did a couple of the, oh my God, the Claymore.
Claymore.
And it was over. It was like,
yeah,
it was,
it's like, yeah, it's like somebody was spamming the button on a 2K game.
Yeah.
Drew hit like three or four Claymores just one after the other. It's like he had his specials all loaded up.
Yeah. And it was over. It was like, oh. Okay, that was a world title match.
I think that would be different in this regime. I think it would be a little bit different scenario with those two guys going at it. Because I thought Lashley and Brock was great, and it wasn't.
Yeah, no, that was
it wasn't boring at all. I thought they really did a good job.
That one, two former MMA, two former collegiate wrestlers, and Bobby Lashley also wrestled in the Army. I mean, so they have a lot of that legitimate experience beyond just the wrestling ring. I mean, they're both very legitimate athletes, and so that one I was expecting to actually showcase their abilities, and they did. Ones, not so much.
Yeah, and I don't like to dwell on like past matches, because I think that's a product of the agent, right? And the agent's being influenced by you know who at the top, right? Mm-hmm. So those can be easily changed by the next match, right? I mean, if you just book the match differently through the agent's eyes, then it's a totally different result. So anyway, but I guess I like to see half full glass on those ones, because they're, we say this all the time, name one person on any roster that isn't talented now in 2022. There is no weak links on these rosters anymore. There isn't somebody who can't go for 30 minutes. There isn't somebody who can't at least get a half decent promo. There isn't anyone anymore that's like a really, really bad worker anymore. There's just not. It's not there. So I think a lot of it, it's the producing of these matches. It's not their fault. I think it's the matches, how they're laid out.
I know who the other heel was that I was thinking of. It's Jeff Jarrett.
Most hated guy in AEW right now.
Yeah.
Talk about a heat
slap
bag.
Nuts.
Yeah.
Even he what he did during Flair's last perfect. Match.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
I still haven't watched that match. I don't think I want to watch that match.
I'm not going to.
No. Unless you want to watch it for Jared. Jared did a fantastic job. But yeah. But no, you don't. And actually, that might have been Andrade's best match I've seen him in since NXT. He did fantastic in that match.
Coincidentally, I think he was wearing trunks in that match, was he not? I don't know how that works out, though.
Jay is a big trunks guy.
Completely transforms the performer.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anything else that you guys wanted to chat on, or should we wrap things up here?
I'm about to fall asleep here, so we probably should wrap it up.
Because I know it's after midnight for you guys, and it's a little bit after 11 for me, and I know I got to get to bed because I got work in the morning. Dwayne's going, it's only a little bit past 10 for me.
Yeah, it's past 10. I work from home, so I get up at like 6:45 to clock in at 7. So,
Not me. I mean, I get up around 5 and I have about a 45-minute drive to get to my office, but they know I do wrestling podcasts, and, you know, so I say, I was recording last night. Oh, all right. But for the most part, they're kind of, they like it. I mean, my coworkers, they all think it's kind of cool. I actually have some of my coworkers listen. So, and they know there are, give a shout out to them. I don't want to call them out by name. But want to give a shout out to them, plus some of the other people that are friends and family who actually listen to us. And and hopefully, you know, anybody who else has listened to us up in Canada, we appreciate that, because I'm seeing Nova Scotia. I don't know who that may be that's been listening to us. So.
It's us. Yeah. Make sure, tell those folks that you're going to be on somebody else's podcast so we can get some strange listens ourselves.
There we go. Oh,
there you go.
And believe me, I mean, and they will be strange, I can tell you.
Thank you all for having us. We appreciate it.
Man.
No, this is fun, boys.
This has been a pleasure. Been a pleasure. So one more time, you want to just quickly just shout out your handles for Armchair so people can follow?
Yes. Like I said, if you want to email us, it's armchairbookingpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/armchairbookingpodcast. On Instagram, also at armchairbooking. On Twitter, @bookingarmchair. On TikTok, @armchairbooking. You can find us on YouTube. It's the only video outlet that we know of. But on audio, at any audio platform you can think of, even some that I didn't even put us on, but we're there. You know, if we're not there, just let one of us know. We have ourselves added. You can find our merch, tpublic.com/user/armchair-booking-podcast. You can find Jwaylen on Twitter @fat_daddy73. By the way, he's delicious, Jwaylen Davis. I just figured I'd throw that in there. I forgot to get the nickname in there.
Nice.
But there is a story behind that, but we'll save that for the next time. But, but you can also find Jwaylen, his other social media, Big and Fat on YouTube and TikTok, and you can find my other non-wrestling podcast called The Cubicle Chat, you know, on about any audio platform you can think of. And I believe that is all. Go to Apple, give us a 5-star review, give us a give us a rating. Go to Spotify, also give us a rating on YouTube. Please start subscribing. We got people, you know, we're stuck at 55 right now, and I think the last person to subscribe was my sister. And, you know, so we've been trying to, we've kind of, every once in a while, you know, you just kind of hit that wall. For some reason, just can't get more. So we're trying to get more subscribers.
Sure.
You know, so sometimes we'll actually get more listens than what we have subscribers. I'm like, hey, cool, we got listens. They're not subscribing because we want to hit that. We want to hit that magic 100 number so we can actually change the URL to what we want instead of just random characters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're there too, trying to get that too. So,
oh, I thought y'all hit it.
We've got that. Oh, we got that. Right. We're trying to get to 500 to get that community page is what we really like.
Oh, wow. Goals.
Because it seems like that really helps the growth in that. Because we want to be talking to these people that are watching, because we are getting some views. I mean, obviously, we're not, you know, the million views or anything like that, but we'll get a few hundred on each video, and some of them actually go a bit higher. And I mean, I'd like to talk to these people and like chat about wrestling. They're obviously wrestling fans. I'd like to see what kind of wrestling fans they are. What kind of
maybe they're not.
Like.
Maybe they just think we're sexy. Who knows?
Maybe.
And I mean, I need to get my daughter, because my daughter, she also has a YouTube channel, and she has 333 subscribers.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, she does like movie reviews and stuff like that. But but yeah. So
what's her channel name? Put it out.
Pimp
there.
Pimp it. Pimp it.
Avery Elise. You can find it @AveryB552. She has more than just movie reviews, but some of she reviews 80s movies.
Nice.
And that's kind of,
yep. So, you can catch, cause she's also majoring in film at college. Okay. Well, right now she's actually in Orlando. She's part of the Disney College program, you know? So she's kind of put the movie reviews on hiatus until she's done with that, because she doesn't want a conflict there. So it's, you're working for Disney, but you're, you know, so it's on hiatus, but yeah, just go check that out. You know, so she would enjoy it.
All right, cool. Hook her up with the Hooked on Movies guys.
Yeah, and she needs to give us some subscription, you know, some subscribers. She needs to tell her people to come talk to my people.
There you go. There you go. All right, gentlemen, this has been fantastic. As far as us, just @WWTTPod on Twitter and Instagram. Go to our Facebook page, Wrestling with the Truth. Go to YouTube, Wrestling with the Truth. Please subscribe. Please check out our videos. Leave some comments. We're super interactive with our followers, so make sure you're leaving some comments, because we want to chat with wrestling fans, get an idea of what you're liking, and maybe some ideas for some new videos and stuff like that as well. And of course, as we showed at the beginning of the episode, any 5-star reviews on Apple we will read out over the air, and we appreciate every single one of them, as well as every single listener that we have. And guys, again, thank you very much. This has been a blast, and I'm telling you, folks, go out and support the Armchair Booking Wrestling Podcast, because they're doing some good stuff over there. And any friend of Ted's is a friend of ours, so we appreciate it. Mm-hmm. All right, gentlemen. So for Delicious Dwalin and for Stunning Steve and for the Nightmare Jay, this is, again, the Nicknameless BC saying we are out of here.
I got nothing again.
Yeah.
It's too late.